There's the old story about the three churches which had a revival. The Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church all worked together to sponsor a community-wide revival. And after the revival was completed, the three pastors were discussing the results with one another. The Methodist minister said, "This revival worked out great for us. We gained 4 new families." The Baptist preacher said, "We did even better than that. We got 6 new families." And the Presbyterian pastor said, "We did even better than that. We got rid of our 10 biggest troublemakers." Well, shall I say it? That's a true story. We Anglicans have a revival as well. We call it Lent. And we have an altar call, too. We call that Holy Communion. Lent begins this year with a reading about Noah. And the whole story takes up chapters 6 through 9 of the book Genesis. And you'll recall that the Noah saga begins with a statement about the depravity of mankind. When the Lord God saw how great was man's wickedness on earth, he regretted that he'd made man, and God was sickened by the sins of man. In other words, God was disgusted. And yet, even still, because of the goodness of one man, Noah, God refrained from destroying humanity altogether. He saved Noah's family, carried them safely through the flood. And as Peter tells us, this is a foreshadowing of baptism. We too reach salvation by going through the waters. And then at the end of the story, to demonstrate that he would never again destroy his creation, God set his bow in the skies. Now, when we modern people think of the rainbow, we think of My Little Pony kind of rainbows, beautiful colors. If we're Irish, we think of a pot of gold at the end. But for the ancients, the focus was not the rainbow's colors, but the bow itself. They saw the bow as God's bow with which he shot arrows. And you'll recall that the ancient philosophers thought that storms and lightnings were caused by the various gods hurling down thunderbolts. And when the ancient Hebrews saw the bow, they thought God has hung up his bow. He has hung his bow in the sky, and he's not going to use it anymore. God's covenant with Noah is that God will never again give up on mankind. And even if we give up on ourselves, as we all from time to time do, God will not give up on us. The gospel today is about our Lord's temptation in the wilderness. Satan tempted Jesus to sin during his 40 days and 40 nights. And sometimes we think that we don't have the same power to fight off sin when temptation arises. Oscar Wilde used to say the best way today to deal with temptation is simply to yield to it. There's this pervasive belief in our society that we don't have to take responsibility for our actions. Pop psychology teaches that even though I might do something that is evil, this is beyond because of forces beyond my control, my background, or my environment, or my genes. As the old saying goes, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. And because I don't have to take responsibility for my action, the reasoning goes, I don't have to put up a fight to avoid the sins I'm tempted to commit. Now think through this with me. Are we, in fact, powerless in the face of temptation? Well, if a person deliberately allows himself to be exposed to a temptation, then the ability to withstand that temptation is greatly reduced. The old-fashioned name for this used to be occasion of sin. If, for instance, I'm tempted to drunkenness, hanging out in bars will reduce my ability to withstand that temptation. If I'm tempted to lust, going off to the girls' cabaret may provide more of a temptation than I can withstand. But the person is not really powerless because I can choose to go to that bar or I can choose to go to that cabaret. Much of our power to withstand temptation comes specifically from avoiding occasions of sin. But even more power to avoid temptation comes from the strength we receive from God. It's God who gives us the grace to withstand temptation. Grace given in the sacrament of baptism, in prayer, and above all in the sacrament of his body and blood. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God's grace. God promised Noah that he would never give up on us. He loves us too much. I will set my bow in the sky as a covenant between you and me. No matter what our particular temptation is, we can withstand it by God's grace. But we have to take responsibility for our actions. We have to realize that we can willfully do evil and harm other people. The rainbow, the sign given to Noah, is God's promise that he will never let us go. Even if we've failed in the past, even if we've given in to temptation and sin, God supplies the grace to keep us from falling in that hole the third, the fourth, the fifth time. And if God refuses to give up on mankind, then what right do we have to give up on ourselves? In the gospel, Jesus was out in the desert with the wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. During this season of Lent, we reflect on the wild beasts that are in our own lives. What are those temptations that beset us? What are those particular things that devour our spiritual life? And the message here is that with the help of the angels, by God's grace, we fight them off. We have to want to fight, true enough. We have to want to change for the better. And that is what Lent is all about. Spending 40 days in the wilderness, putting up the fight, slaying the beasts, bringing God's kingdom more and more into our lives, and by God's grace, we can do it. And if we find ourselves slipping into old habits, if we find our ardor growing cold, if we are assailed by negative thoughts that we can seemingly never change, we only have to remember the rainbow and know that God does not give up on us. We can change. We must change. Our Lord demands that of us, and his love for us makes it possible. So today, as we keep this first Sunday in Lent, we pray that God will work his wonders in us as we struggle against those elements of our lives that keep us from growing into the full stature of Christ. God has not given up on you. So you should never give up on yourselves and your capacity to be holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy.